Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Skulls West.
West.
Issue 31.5. And, man, we got a lot of reviews and very little time. So, with that said, Nat, take us away.
All right. Quick hit of Cosmic Ghost Rider number 3. I had to rewind myself. my lips lost motion. This is just a continuation of what is slowly becoming my favorite series from 2018, because it's absolutely insane. There's Cable and the future Guardians of the Galaxy, who are the Avengers, but not the Avengers. I'm going to sneeze now. Thank you. Sorry.
Predicted the future.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just really awesome artwork, really awesome story, just absolute insanity. A lot of time travel things, pulling back random teams. Kamala Khan as Captain Marvel, which is also Captain America. Yeah, it's great. Absolutely great.
What's more American than Captain Marvel? Marvel and America.
Yeah, Captain Marvel America.
Marvel America. We'll figure it out.
Scales and Scoundrels number 12. This is written by Sebastian Gerner with art by Galad. This is the end of the series, and it's bittersweet. This is a gorgeous and fun book that I've looked forward to every month that it's been coming out, and I'm really sad that it's over. It definitely leaves with an open ending. End, which just makes things that much worse because there's so much more story to tell. But yeah, definitely pick up Scales and Scoundrels if you can find it in individual issues. If not, get those trade paperbacks because it is totally worth it.
Yeah.
Got Red Hood and the Outlaws, which has now been redacted to Red Hood Outlaw number 26. This is written by Scott Lobdell with art by Pete Woods, and this is the debut of the new version of Red Hood, who has left the Outlaws and gone out on his own. And has said, fuck Batman, and is straight up murdering folks. This is anti-hero Jason Todd, and this is the way the character should be. He shouldn't be a part of the Bat family. He should be enacting his own form of justice.
Definitely,
and if Batman wants to step in the way.
The sheer amount of Bat family people who are walking away, because Batwoman also walked away.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. I think it's tightening the reins on what the core characters are is more interesting to me. And this is like, if Batman and him get into a fight, this is going to be a rough setup because he's not kidding around.
He's on the freaking cover with a damn crowbar.
Which is an interesting nod because you know that's what he was beat to death with, was a crowbar.
Oh god, yeah. That's fucked.
They saw Mother Panic say "fuck you, Batman."
Yeah, exactly.
It started a trend. It's like hashtag now,
and it's also gorgeous. Like Pete Woods, he redesigned the costume and his art style is just great. It fits this so much. It's this cartooned grittiness. It's really good. It's a really great, it sets the tone for what will be the future of the Red Hood series. Also want to quickly highlight Headlopper number 9. This is by Andrew McLean. This is the new story arc. So the great thing about Headlopper is each story is fairly independent. You don't need to read the previous ones to get information and to get into this. I've described this as Adventure Time meets Hellboy, and that's pretty much what it is, with a Mad Max Conan-type storytelling. It's awesome. This was an absolutely fun and brutal read. You know, you get to see Headlopper doing his headlopping thing. And we also get a little backstory for one of the main characters. I can't recommend this book enough. This scratches so many itches in terms of, like, fantasy and art storytelling. It's like watching a Cartoon Network cartoon. You know, like it's something like an Adult Swim. Really, really awesome book. And like I said, you can pick it up with having not read any of the other ones. And it's quarterly. So your commitment is once every 3 months you'll get a Headlopper issue.
Oh, nice.
So, yes, nice, easy, great paradigm. And, yeah, that's what I've got right now.
Quarterly. Interesting. Cool. Well, I guess with that, I'll hop into mine real quick. These are all that I've mentioned before on the show, but I think I need to bring back just because... this is Champions issue number 24. Wow, this was a heavy, heavy issue. I didn't know what this was going to be about until I got into it. On the cover it says, "You never think it will happen to you." So this opens up with the champions doing champion things.
Championing?
Yes, they're talking about school or whatever and various reasons why they weren't there. And Miles is talking about how, there's, like, an activities fair, and so, you know, since he's part of the champions, he's just playing hooky. And then he gets an Amber Alert there on his phone that says there's a shooting at his school. And this comic very quickly turns into his guilt over not being there and the ability to do something. The idea of what can be done if this is done so many times before. And this is, like, this is really interesting. Everybody has very interesting reactions to this, especially Riri in this, because her dad was killed in a shooting.
Yeah.
John and, yeah. So, it's, yeah, this is a very heavy issue. Lot of interesting subtleties, too.
Basically, everything that Patrick reads, I'm just like, I'm going to stand over here and let him talk about it. Oh, nope, don't read that one.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff that Kat doesn't want to read, I got Captain America, number 3 here. I love you, Ta-Nehisi. I can't say that enough.
I'm pretty sure this entire comic is him just walking around with everybody with his middle fingers up.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Fine, you cancel my stuff, I show you.
Wearing the Captain America shield on his back.
Yeah, I was joking that this is basically him doing the crew, but with Captain America. And so in this issue, we actually get Black Panther come in to help Captain America. I was like, this is the crew, but he's like, oh, you don't want me to do that? Fine, I'm going to do this. Or do the coup, but with a white guy.
Just makes you think of South Park when they're just walking around with their fingers up.
And then he has a conversation in here with just like this sort of average Joe kind of guy where they're drinking beers and talking about the state of, you know, the flyover country and like what Washington forgot and jobs leaving and then Hydra bringing back the jobs and like, I don't know. It's very, very interesting. And, yeah. It manages a lot, even though it sounds very politically heavy, it manages to kind of stay sort of even and just bring up a lot of issues, like deep-seated social issues instead of, like, current political issues.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the next one I gotta do, The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number 36. This one I was looking forward to because it has been promoted for a while. It is a silent issue.
Ooh.
So in the beginning,
we
have...
Oh, man, it's gotta be, like, the hardest read.
Yeah, this...
I did air quotes for everybody to
well,
read.
It's funny because I always say how Ryan North writes so much in Squirrel Girl that, like it's, like, two issues in one because of just the amount of, like, dialogue and stuff. So I was like, how is he going to manage to do this? But of course there is words like on signs and a lot on books, because like, it's like the ghost of this librarian who comes in and like shushes everybody and makes like New York completely quiet.
That's awesome.
And
that's
they creepy. Try to defeat him with all the Avengers, and then Squirrel Girl ends up defeating her with her love of libraries, because if you're a Squirrel Girl fan, you'll know one of the things she's low-key stoked on is libraries.
Nice.
And just books in general, so she defeats the ghost by reading books with her and eating apples.
Yeah.
And then she takes her on this, like, crime-fighting thing to help him defeat, like, all the sound-based villains, like Ulysses Klaue and other people. So here she is with, like, the Avengers as, like, library woman.
That's awesome.
So this is, it's just, it's a lot of fun, and... Yeah, there's a lot of jokes in here written in books, mostly. So, still just funny. You know, there's no words in it, spoken dialogue, and I'm still laughing out loud at it.
That's awesome.
Just great stuff. Anyway, that's it for me for quick hits, quick quote-unquote hits.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what do you got for us, Kat?
So, I've just got two that I apparently read by myself this week, so that's good, but, so, Catwoman number 3, I'm bored, I'm done, I'm really starting, like, they did an interesting backstory to whatever villain this is in this, she's apparently a Black Widow, where she kills her husband, takes the money, and you see the backstory to the point where, like, her first one, she's, like, 17 years old, and she steals money from a charity.
Jesus.
Lives with the woman... And her husband, she kills their children, by poisoning them. And I think it was probably windshield wiper fluid. Yeah, exactly. Poisons them and frames the wife for it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so she goes to jail and then marries the guy and then manages to make him fake a suicide by shooting him in the back of the head, which... Like, forensics-wise, I'm like, they could tell when
that doesn't make any sense.
You get shot in the back of the head, so what did you do? And then And then her new husband has cancer, so she quits. And he's like, well, we'll just focus on each other. And she's telling him the story and leaving out. Like, she doesn't say this specifically, but you watch from the pictures, and that's where you have to go and re-examine some stuff. And she says, she's like, you know, all this stuff that he did behind your back, including, like, paying people off, making sure you got this election, and now you're useless to me. And she, like, whips out a syringe, and she's going to kill him, too.
Wow.
So, I don't know. She's a Black Widow is basically what she is. And honestly, I'm not super sure where they're going with this stuff, but I don't know. I'm just sitting here looking. I'm, like, looking at my stack of comics, and I have so many comics lately that I'm, like, I have to pick stuff that I'm excited to read because I'm not excited to read this.
Yeah.
So, Catwoman, I love you, but good day. Wah, wah.
Sorry. We still love you, Joelle Jones.
I do. Her art is amazing, and honestly, that's probably why I kept going through it as much as I did, because her art is gorgeous. Also, Catwoman has a sister, which I didn't know. Yeah, exactly. The second one that I picked up was Iceman number one. Just throw it away. Don't read it. It's not. Like, I keep seeing stuff where they're like, oh, it's so good. I'm like, what comic did you, what did you read?
What was it about?
I don't even know. It's like, they're talking about, like, the beginning, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm just trying to get my life in order, you know. I could pick up girls before, but now I'm, like, trying to date men and I can't. And I'm like, you're, this is already awful. And he teams up with Bishop, and I don't even really understand what this story was about. That's how disinterested I was.
Gotcha.
All of their jokes that were supposed to be cringy and, like, was it cringy and lame and find humor in that were just that, cringy and lame. Like, I didn't laugh a single time in this entire issue, like, at all. His jokes are just so... He's got, like, those dad jokes, but they're the dad jokes that go on for so long, you're just like, shut up! For the love of God, stop talking!
God. So it's not even like he did a joke and it's funny because it's a bad joke.
It's a dad
whatever,
joke.
You know?
It's just a shitty joke that you are... Stop talking. Like,
sad.
I don't know if they're trying to make him, like, Spider-Man in that sense.
Sad.
But they're that doing a terrible... I didn't enjoy it at all. So I would skip it. Not worth it.
Gotcha. Alright.
Cool.
Well, I have a really weird review now.
Yeah, you do.
So, I have the Superman 100-page comic giant number 3. This is the Walmart exclusive DC comics that are sort of an anthology. So, this includes 4 stories. Superman Up in the Sky. Superman Batman World's Finest. Green Lantern, and the Terrifics. So, the Superman Up in the Sky is an entirely new story by Tom King and Adam Kubert.
Oh, wait, Tom King wrote something in there?
Yeah.
What?
Excuse me, Tom King and Andy Kubert.
Either way, was it good?
So, that was great.
Okay.
It's only 12 pages that are part of the 12 issues, so that will be one whole story called Up in the Sky. And it's, you know, just an intro piece to it, and Batman calls Superman for help. And, yeah, it was really awesome. It's beautifully illustrated. I loved it. I can't wait to see more from this, but I don't really want to support Walmart so regularly.
I choose not to.
Rather support your local comic shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt?
I would love to support my local comic shop that I happen to work at. the other thing is, Superman and Batman... The Superman, Batman, and then Green Lantern are pre-New 52, so, like, they're the original DC Universe timelines, and then the Terrifics
How do you
figure
that out?
Well, because they're not new content, because they're stuff from the pre...
they're
comic books I own in my collection already.
that's
why. which, I mean, they're great comic books. That's not anything negative about that. And then the Terrifics is post-rebirth, you know.
I'm going to ask just how much was that?
This was $6. Or $5, excuse me, $4.99 for the big stack. However...
I'm asking for children, that's all.
I'm a friend.
I don't
I
know who
friend.
This is for. You say that, you know, buying for kids. So there's an advertisement for Batman White Knight on the back.
Yeah, there's also... I saw the two-page spread, too, of Crisis... of Heroes, too, which
Heroes
I'm pretty sure is going to go over above a kid's head.
There's an advertisement for Comic Book Finder, or Comic Store Finder, you know. I don't know who this is for. Because the front storyline, the Tom King and Andy Kubert, that's for us. That is definitely like the collector crowd, the ones we know, the hot artists and writers, and that story is for us. The pre-New 52 stuff is possibly for kids who don't care about continuity, but still, it's teen. And then the Terrifics is definitely part of the new comic book readers who are completely entwined in continuity. And all the advertisements are for stuff that is all over the place. So as a whole package, I think it completely misses the mark.
That's fair.
As an individual story, I'm kind of
I mean, even the Superman stories right now go over kids' heads, and here's another two-page spread for the new Superman stuff.
I honestly don't know why these things aren't, like, being done as original graphic novels that are Walmart exclusives and just have the new content. Because that would be, you could put it in the same place, you can mark them at, like...
See, and this is definitely confusing, like, this ad right
here. Yeah, Comic Shop Locator, right?
Yeah, because it's like, here, if you enjoy this stuff, go here, but I'm like, but...
But you just bought this at Walmart.
Yeah, and then, like, the other part of it is, too, is I would not advise a lot of the comics that I personally read to children. I specifically look for kids for, like, comics for kids.
I also want to talk about the fact that this was actually found in... like, the card section, like, where you buy, like, magic cards and, like, Pokemon cards.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That makes sense. That's usually their, just the fun fact about Kat's past work history. I used to work for Walmart. That area is kind of like a hodgepodge area for stuff where they're like, should this be in books or should they, it's usually like, so that doesn't necessarily surprise me. To me, it makes sense because I worked there for almost 5 years. Yeah.
So I want to recommend the Tom King story to people, but I don't know how you get it.
Just the like Tom King part.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to go look for this digitally.
The other ones are available in trade paperbacks that they advertise in here. So, it's just really weird. It's a weird product that I don't really understand what.
I think maybe what they're trying to do is get people, because you don't get comic books at Walmart.
Yeah.
You don't get comic books at GameStop. I think they're just trying to say, hey, look, guys, comics.
They still exist.
They still exist. Yeah. Read these.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and then that might be what they're trying to do.
Big White Knight ad on the back.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know. It's just a really weird thing. Huh. But anyway, so moving on to some group reviews, eh?
Yeah.
Easy.
I don't know. What should we start with? Why don't you start us off with some group ones, Kat?
Nat, do we want to go back to back with some disappointment?
Sure.
And then that way, hopefully, we can end on a positive note.
Yay, disappointment.
So... first one I have in my hand is Batman number 54. What was the point of this? Can someone explain this to me? I don't think anybody can, but I'm just starting to get real salty.
It's good to see Matt Wagner doing some art on Batman again. Love it. Mm-hmm. I think that looks fantastic. I love Nightwing. And I get that they're trying to say that Nightwing and Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne's relationship is, you know, the two brothers.
Yep.
And trying to console him, which is a really interesting paradigm, is like to see somebody try to...
Well, the whole point of it is it's called Shadows of the Past, and it gives him the backup to when he was a kid, and Bruce is trying to do his best to console him, and I'm like, he's like, how are you not laughing at Condiment King? And I'm like, oh, so we're gonna just throw all the lame villains in here, too? I don't understand what this is.
Yeah, and I've been having this problem with Batman right now, that it is seem like it's all side story. Like, I don't know...
I'm hitting the point of not caring.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, if you don't get your shit together soon, I'm gonna unsubscribe.
Yeah, next issue is supposed to be a big turning point, but I don't know. This was... I enjoyed this for what it was as a standalone issue, but yes, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my whole continuity complaining, is if you're gonna have the book that's in continuity, let's actually advance the story.
Let's do something with it.
So.
Which I can understand, because that's how I feel. And then we'll just follow up with Justice League. I don't understand this either.
I don't get it. I guess.
Either it's too highbrow for me, or I'm not dumb enough to read it. I'm not really sure which one it is.
So this is Justice League number 7, yep. Written by Scott Snyder, this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And art by Jim Chung. It's a gorgeous book.
Yep, super pretty.
It's so cool to see the Justice League from the animated series, like, going out again and doing crazy things, and... you know, Batman with his cast suit.
Minus Cyborg wasn't in
there. Oh, yeah, Cyborg's not in there. Yeah. Oh, Cyborg wasn't in the original Batman anime series. It was Green Lantern. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, moving on.
But it was like, I don't fucking know what's going on. Like, it never seemed to explain itself. I suppose...
I still don't know what the totality is.
I still don't know,
number one, how the sudden... like, my thing is, what was it, last issue? All of a sudden, Barry has still force powers. And I'm like, how did you...
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I slowed down and I got scared. And I'm like, what am I reading?
I still don't understand what the ultraviolet lanterns were.
Nope.
Like, it's so, like, high concept that it is literally difficult to read. There's too many things happening that don't seem to have explanation. And all the characters seem like they're in character and it's correct, but it's just like, boy, this is really hard. And I don't,
I'm either too dumb to read this or too smart to read it. I'm not sure which one it is.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I don't. The book reads fast.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And you need to read it slowly to get everything. Mm-hmm. So it's this count, like it's a contradiction to the way itself is done. So. But yeah, that's for me. That's all I would say about.
I'm unsubscribing to it. Every 2 weeks, and I'm like, we're done.
It's a little too rough to read every 2 weeks.
Oh God, so much.
Yeah,
Patrick.
Nat, I think you and I cross over on three Image titles that I know you want to talk a little bit about.
Yeah.
In our main show, you mentioned MCMLXXV.
1975.
So, yep, Roman numerals.
It's just salty title for me. I'm just like, why?
This is issue number one, written by Joe Casey and art by Ian McEwan.
I think it's Macewan.
Macewan? Yeah. I want to say McEwan because that's like the actor.
McEwan. Yeah, you know what? I think it could be McEwan.
Anyway, so this is like, firstly, the art is great. It has like this like stylized 70s aesthetic where there's like kung fu and like, you know, the smooth talking DJs on the radio, you know, that are kind of like providing the narration, if you were.
Well, the smooth talking DJ too, that's her, like Pamela's boyfriend. Yeah,
the
right?
main character's boyfriend. So they both work the night shift. She is a cabbie and him is a DJ. And then she's also fights ninjas and like gangs and like
in her past sequence dream thing, she fought giant like titans.
Yeah, when she was a kid. And so she's a badass like in general, but
so this is, it's being described as heroic fiction, and I want to understand what that means, because that's like a really, that's a very specific to what they're doing, the use of Roman numerals in the title, and there's in here, in her flashback sequence,
I just get shitty about it too, because I'm like, just,
well, she was trained, she's trained, or her mentor is Damocles.
Yeah.
Which is a reference to the Sword of Damocles, which is another just sort of loose Greek reference of some sort of, like, magical weapon. Is she the Sword of Damocles? Like, is that what we're getting here?
Yeah.
And I loved this issue. To me, this was, like, this is the fantastic teaser. This gives you all of the action you get in there, and there's these hints of a larger world. So I'm excited for that because I want to know what's going on. I also, there's one of the greatest lines I think in comics this year for me. She tries to light up her tire iron, which seems to be some sort of a magical weapon.
Yeah.
And she goes, she lights it up and it fizzles, and she goes, wait, you guys aren't monsters, just assholes. And just starts beating people. And
she's,
I just
like,
thought,
don't worry, it's still effective.
Right? It's like, I guess she's probably going to be some sort of like Greek hero.
Yeah, after we were talking about Greek, I was thinking maybe this will be like an Odyssey kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where we get a bunch of different, I don't know.
Like the trials maybe. of a character, so she's going through, like right now she's...
Yeah, or maybe like a Hercules trials, yeah, but like a...
At this point in time, she's just kind of a defender of the free people, but, you know, she will have to go on her own journey going through her trials to, for a greater good. I loved it. I thought this was so, like... It was really cryptic, which was nice for me. Like, there wasn't... It drops you into the world, and the world existed, and there's something else happening, and we don't know yet what that is.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions for sure. That's the only reason I'm kind of, like, iffy about it. It's just because I don't know, like, almost anything.
I would recommend this, but this is also right up my alley. This kind of, like, weird cosmicness to it.
Yeah, stylistically, it's at
and
least
worth
it.
And then there's the moment that Nat lost me.
Yeah. Well, there's no space. It just has that cosmic feel.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
Yeah, because it's a very it starts as a very small story and then progresses to something.
It's like, here's a cab driver, and, you know, she's picking up a fare, and it's like, this may be a rough night. And it's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of some zombie ninjas with a glowing tire iron, you know? Like,
yeah.
I got bored today, so if you'll excuse me. Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Well, let's move on to something else that has an interesting je ne sais quoi, if you will. Which this is Bully Wars issue number one, written by Scotty Young with art by Aaron Conley. This also has a very interesting style. It kind of reminds me of what are like those like old school like monsters driving like the monster car or
I know what you're talking about.
You know those stickers? I'm forgetting the name of them right now, but like,
well, I'm looking at it right now. Because it's been a little bit since I read this, it reminds me of Paranorman, but like brightly colored Paranorman.
Like if they had just colored it differently,
right?
You know, it's this weird sort of like hyper cartoony, like.
So, and it's an E for Everyone image title.
Yeah, even which is like about bullies,
right? And there's. I liked this issue. I thought this was going to be something that anybody really could pick up and just have an easy read.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dialogue for it being good.
Yeah, there is. It's interesting. I'm interested to see where, like, the plot goes. There's interesting, like, role reversal.
Yeah, and I want to know what the bully wars are.
Yeah, well, nobody, only the one bully knows what it is. Yeah.
So is it something that, like, they have to enact, or is it, like, an actual event, you know?
I'm
like,
imagining that this is some sort of, like gladiator style, right, like throwdown, where they have to, like,
with an announcer and the game show,
or, like,
yeah,
spitballs or like that kind of bullying.
Or is it a secret thing where, like, it has to happen within the walls of the school, you know? Like, that's...
Yeah. Well, he said something about invitation. So that
might be,
it
might be
like
the invitation for like you get the quests that you have to do within the time frame that's allotted.
I don't know what it's
gonna be. And then the rat costume is hilarious.
Yeah, a lot of questions.
Yeah, fun read though. Really, like I mean, if you've got like preteen kids and you're already a comic book reader, it might be an awesome one to sort of pick up to. Like, pass along, so either they're not reading Unnatural.
It's definitely, it has
those
that
poor kids, if they're teenagers, they're gonna be so confused.
I'm
34, I'm confused.
Right,
it has that Scotty Young feel to it, so if you've read, like, I Hate Fairyland or any other stuff like that, it has, you know.
A lot of tongue-in-cheek cartoon feel.
Yeah, kind of like... Yeah, just overly over-the-top stylized kind of, like, interesting stuff.
And pretty,
yeah. The story, we were talking about this a little bit ago, but it's a story that matches the artwork very well.
Yes.
And then I think lastly, the thing that only you and I cross over with would be Crowded, issue number 2. I want to bring this up just because, like, this comic is getting... I was really excited for the first issue. And this is just getting better and better.
Yeah!
Before I get more, I should say script and design by Christopher Sabella and then Rose Stein on pencils.
Is she inking as well?
Ted Brandt is doing inks.
Okay, so there's an actual inker in the book.
Yeah.
The inks are great, that's why I brought that up. It's a very beautiful looking book.
Yeah. There's just so much going on, like, more and more, and, like, it's paced so well that, like, it lets each... Like, the beats happen fast, but they also breathe at the same time, you know?
They breathe within the action, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah.
Which will make a really nice translation to a movie, is that you're going to be able to, you know, have the dialogue while people are, like, bullets are flying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I dig that.
Everything from the bodyguard, Vita, her, like, interaction with her ex at the crime scene, that was just, like, just great, like, ex talk.
Yeah, there's
know?
Really good background storytelling that isn't exposition. Like, it's not word vomit. It's, like, through interactions that you're learning things.
Well,
there was
like
one
word
vomit moment, but...
Yeah, there was, but yeah, that was kind of funny too. But there's one part where there's two other bodyguards there, and Vita's talking to them, like they know each other. They're like, you know, they've worked, you know, maybe not together, but for the same site for a long time. So Yeah, I think that this one for me, we're talking about good lines, but when the one bodyguard is, they're like, who's your, you know, target? Or like, who are you guarding? He's like, John Assett, he's her producer and an artist or some shit. That's his boyfriend. His name is a circle with three dots in the middle.
it sort of nails that, like, yeah, cliched Hollywood
and types. Just with his face, like, his face while he's saying that, too, is like, oh, my God, his name is a circle with three dots.
This book takes place, are we saying maybe 10-ish years from now? Like,
technologically, it is very feasible that it could happen present day. There's no, like, future technology. There's just different...
Yeah, it feels like a natural progress, like just a pushed societal. Some of the fashion makes me think that maybe it's a little bit farther ahead of us.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be true.
And I'm not saying, like, this is not a future, you know, this doesn't focus on the technology so much as it's, like, societal future. Like,
yeah, this isn't a sci-fi. I wouldn't consider this a sci-fi book so much as, like, a digital thriller.
A digital thriller. That's a nice name for it.
So yeah, that's yeah, this is great, and if it continues like it is, I love the little nod to, you know, comic book nerds reading a comic, yeah, and, you know, Vita.
I bet you have a cape.
Up. Yeah, I bet you have a cape.
Is it a sex cape?
I don't know what that is.
You're right, me.
Yeah, anyway, so that was good.
Good book. Really good book.
Yeah. Yeah. So, cool. Well,
Kat, what do you got?
Yeah, what do you got for us?
We can do this. The S's back to back, too. So, Supergirl, number 22. Dude, did she, like, pack or something? Because I just realized that she has a stealth suit. And I'm like, did you pack that, or does your costume change?
I'm wondering if her costume changes.
That's kind of where I was. I was like, does your costume change?
Which would be really cool.
I'm like,
cool.
Your shit got literally blown up, so you don't have a suitcase.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's why the cape has the weird, like, sash design, is because it is still just her cape.
Mm-hmm.
So this is written by Mark Andrako with art by Kevin Maguire.
Yep.
This is great.
Dude, that axe is badass. She's like, I really wish I had an owner's manual to this thing. He, like, pokes it, and the axe shrinks down to where she actually has the ability to hide it now.
Yeah.
And he's like, can it do that? She's like, of course. And you knew that? Of course. And then, like, her word bubble, or her thought bubble, not.
Yeah, this is very, like, there's a lightness to this whole, like, the storytelling of what is actually a pretty dark story. She's trying to figure out whether or not Krypton was actually destroyed or if it was the cataclysm.
But yeah, I'm just sitting here. It's like, it's the next issue is going to be Illuminati.
Right? Seriously. Unsad Crypto.
Yeah, he didn't mean to do anything.
No.
He's like, you were asking for help. And I'm sitting over here and I'm like, God, I still wish she had the cat with her. That would have been great.
No, I like Crypto being with her. Gorgeous artwork, too. Oh, like, Kevin Maguire's facial expression
is
just
so awesome.
She gets,
like, sucked into an axe. And so you don't actually know what it is, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
So she just gets sucked in, and now there's a video recording of one of the guardians of Oa talking to her. So we're going to hit that Illuminati phase.
Yeah, where, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's like, the circle, you can help me. I'm like, Illuminati! and then Superman, the thing that I will say that I'm a little salty about is it's like Superman versus the Unstoppable Rogal Zar. They don't fight. They don't even talk to each other.
No, it's the setup.
Yeah, it's the setup for basically like, the last page is just an army.
Oh my god, don't
army.
You hate how they do that?
Yeah.
Comics are so bad about that. On the cover, the showdown you've always been waiting for.
In the next issue.
Yeah, and then the last one, it shows them, like, going for each other. Yeah. The very last panel.
This is what I get at the very end, is basically he's about to go to war with everybody trapped into the Phantom Zone. And it sounds like it's also people that his parents trapped in there as well.
Yeah, there's also this weird...
I don't know what this thing is, but it's horrifying.
It's interesting how, like, the rest of humanity is being affected by being in the Phantom Zone.
This,
like,
is going to be my bitchy, nerdy, science-y moment, but I really wish they went more into it, because they were saying, from what they said, is basically the atmosphere combined with the Phantom Zone is poison to humans.
Yeah, it's actually creating a poison.
Yeah. So. I mean, the best part is like when Livewire busts into Star Labs and she's like, Hold on. Because it turns out Star Labs is the reason they ended up in the Phantom Zone. And, I mean, this...
Yeah.
What did you do? He's like, I know she didn't do anything.
Now you had a ticking clock since the atmosphere is poisoned.
Right, exactly. Which is a very Bendis thing to do, like, yeah. like a yeah. classic superhero trope.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so. You know, where you have to go and the Flash has to run and touch two clocks at the
right.
same
well,
time.
Well, the Flash is the one who's being, like, affected the most.
Yeah,
like,
he can't.
Which makes balance. Sense because he metabolizes faster than anybody else. Uh-huh.
So he's taking
yeah.
more and more places.
Yeah, Batman's, yeah. like, he's, like, he calls the Justice League, Batman's next to a toilet.
Yeah.
Flash is in the hospital and he can't really do anything.
Yeah.
I think even, what is his name? The Atom. He's even being affected, but not as quickly as Flash is.
The Mighty Atom. I can only think of Teen Titans Go now.
Stop! But, I mean... Yeah, I just, the title made me a little salty, and I'm like, no, this is him gathering his army, you dick. God, awesome. Don't be an ass. But I enjoyed it. The next one should be, it was that, I mean, even though nothing happened, I still got some giggles from this,
yeah.
I still enjoyed it. I mean, all I thought in my mind is dad voice when he walked up to Lyra, what did you do?
What did you do? I still hear Tim Daly from Justice League every time I watch
right.
or read Superman. So.
Well, yeah, I don't know. He's got, like, the best dad voice. Yeah. It's really interesting.
Between that and Cavill, the two voices I hear.
Uh-huh.
What else we got?
I mean, I guess we have... this is a terrible name because you guys brought it up, but As Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's a perfectly fine name. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, Guardians. What
S? There's only one S in there, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the problem with this is.
Yeah,
we're all grown adults here. There's nothing to
yeah,
think about.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. As we all go see Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, and giggle about the As Guardians of the Galaxy.
I read this. It was good, but it's not. It's one of those things that's not for me.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're...
Who are the creators?
Colin Bunn, and then... Oh, hey, they actually... It looks like they have everybody's name like right on the front, but we'll double-check to make sure. Of course, it's probably like 15 pages in, more than likely. Yep, of course. Or it's like the last page, or it's in the middle. God damn it. There it is. Writer Colin Bunn and then Matteo Loli or something?
Matteo Loli?
Thank you.
Which is a name I'm not familiar with. But
I'm not either. I mean, I really like the art in this.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's interesting. The Valkyrie is really cool.
Yeah, Valkyrie was like... I'm not familiar enough with the classic Valkyrie character. The one I'm used to is from Thor Ragnarok. But this is like more of a hero transposed in somebody else's body. So like they have to switch places to...
It's pretty interesting. And
they're doing a bunch of illegal shit is what it comes down
yeah,
to as well.
Yeah, basically...
They're using a piece of the Bifrost to power their ship and allow them to, like, travel into dimensions.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
and
know about...
like, they're like, that's not really something that's legal by, like, the galactic, you know, standards. Like, we're not supposed to be doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about any of these characters, so it's probably why I don't care as much, but,
Fair enough.
I like the...
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
I mean, if you... Like your cosmic adventures, this is probably something you should read. They have Throg, so that's pretty freaking cool.
Right. Throg is a core member, so is
which
it...
I didn't see him on the cover
yeah,
until
me
after
either.
I was reading it and I was done. I was like,
and then
oh,
Angela from like the
uh-huh.
Spawn franchise has been folded into the Marvel universe. As
well,
part
we also
of
have somebody in
the
Destroyer. The
Queen of Hell.
Angela is the. She's one of from the 10th realm, which has been like forgotten
oh,
about.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She's one of the angels.
I've seen her occasionally in Jason Aaron's
yeah.
lore. Yeah,
so.
But it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, cool.
I think
story.
She's the team leader. Like,
yeah, she's the one
de facto.
That gathers them all together.
Okay.
In the very end, you find out that apparently Kid Loki is the one in the armor.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to exist.
He's not exactly.
And
there's
I'm
somebody
like,
in the Destroyer armor who shouldn't even exist in the reality.
Yeah. So I'm just, and he's like, the cool part is the weapon that they're talking about. It's all of the threat of, and it's who is it? It's the big enemy. I can't think of her name. It's the
Nebula.
Sun. Yeah, it's Nebula. That's right. But she's trying to go after this horn, which basically takes. So when the gods die, their bodies don't die, but their spirit goes to a different body.
Yeah.
So it's all the past bodies of all these gods that are just empty and in pain. and they're just waiting to fight things, and I'm like, that's badass.
Yeah. that's very
horrifying, but badass.
That's very Asgard.
So. Yeah, it's like horrifying, but super badass. So, I mean, like I said, not for me, but if you like that stuff, pick it up.
Cool. All right.
Any y'all got anything else you want to touch on?
No, I think we're about to drop it to the best one of the week, 2 weeks, whatever.
Yeah, so, I think now we're going to talk about, this is Mirka Andolfo's, Unnatural, and, the writer, artist, inker, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that she did all of it. I've probably read it three times now, and I'm just... Every single time. What? No way. Wow, she's working so hard.
I was actually so...
She's really not working at all, because this was done years ago.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know what I mean, though.
Just to speak to the art in this book, I was actually reading this after I got off of work the other day, and I work in a restaurant, and I was just sitting at the bar before I went home, and a couple of my coworkers were there, and they just looked over, and one of them is an artist, and the other isn't, and they were... Like, just saw it out of the corner, and they're like, holy crap, what is that? And they both, like, pulled it over, and they basically were, like, flipping through it, and I was like, all right, now that you guys have read it before me, like, can right? I get it back? Like, you know, and, yeah, so...
Yeah, it's a gorgeous book.
Yeah, I think that just speaks to the art in and of itself. Not to mention the storyline.
Wow.
I don't understand the story, like... I'm gonna go with spoiler alert at this point. But,
yeah, I mean,
so there's mystical, real world, and now murder, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, there's definitely like conspiracy factions because clearly her roommate had found something
she wasn't supposed to find,
and that's definitely like a piece of mythology to like a city that shouldn't exist, and so that I found that was what I latched onto because for me that you know I love that type of storytelling.
But yeah, I mean the best part to this is they're like, oh, you didn't show up for your date, so where were you? And she's like, I was on my date.
Oh, I know, and talking. Was...
and he's like, it's a misunderstanding. Exactly, a misunderstanding. That's exactly why we're here. If you were on your date last night, Miss Blair, where were you between 7 and 11 p.m.? Where were you when your roommate Trish was murdered? And I was like, what is this book?
Yeah. Well, because we spend, a good 5 pages on her date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her date turns into a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's like, turns out that he's part of, like, this...
Like a cult underground, or something?
Yeah, is it, like, this...
Yeah, she's, like...
Anti-government cult?
Yeah, and he's, like, cutting his arm, and... She's only 25 once. We don't have a choice, and we've already waited long enough.
Like,
you get a guy in a full like shaman outfit, like complete with like alligator skull, like face mask.
Right. And
I have to say though, the worst part to this comic though is the very first few pages.
Oh God,
when her mom actually catches her. Yeah. And she's like, "Oh, you have to lie. You can't tell them. We'll lose everything." And I'm like, "You just told." She just heard you say how much you hate her, and now you're like, lie for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, this fuck, dude.
And then the whole, I love the sort of twist on, like, the makeover montage that you normally get in, like, rom-coms before you go on dates. You're like, let's try on different outfits. And in this one, like, she's trying on different outfits and doing makeup, and it's like, it's making you, like, more and more hate, like, dressing up to impress that thing. And, you know...
They wanted to dye her hair.
Yeah, they wanted to dye her hair because it's, like, naturally blue.
Oh, my God. I didn't also realize that there is some cartoonish elements to this, too. I mean...
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a... I mean, it's a European comic book, and...
Yeah.
They're less restricted than we are in terms of stylistic choices, too. Like, things just kind of...
I just don't...
They work within the world,
yep,
you know?
This is NSFW America and just whatever.
No, it is,
Europe.
I mean, this is the first time we talked about this and we're flipping through this and I said, that is a sexy wolf.
And in France, it's E for everyone.
Right, exactly.
Little children smoking a cigarette. Look at this wolf and this pig. Yeah.
It's like, when you buy the comic,
swirling,
they give you a glass of
swirling
wine.
Swirling their wine.
Yeah. This is like me and my boyfriend last night.
But he was the pig. Sorry, French listeners.
Yeah, sorry for offending all of our international listeners.
Yeah.
We're all having a good time.
Wow.
I don't know.
I think this book is getting better.
Yeah, and I don't understand how, because the more I read, I'm like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
I'm
there's really definitely
not getting it. I'm like to the point where I'm like a conspiracy theorist drawing lines in the room.
It's funny sitting here today, like going over the reviews, is there's a lot of intrigue was definitely the theme of the past 2 weeks, is like learning bits of information without getting a full story and
well, yeah,
how well that's working.
Well,
like,
well, the thing is I will say this, is like, if you lead a story correctly and it seems to hit with us, you can lead it slowly, but there's like a point where if you don't lead it fast enough, we all do get disinterested really quickly.
You have to, like, the hooks have to be nice. Like,
there's a difference between good and bad questions to have as a reader. Like, you know, if you're like, what is happening right here? You know, that's like usually a good question, but if you're like, what is happening right here?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's very different.
It's iconic. Like,
it's Justice League versus Unnatural this week. Yeah,
exactly.
Justice League was, what is happening?
What is happening?
And Unnatural, like, what is happening?
I mean, there's, like I said, there's mystical real world and now murder. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Romance, murder, magic, prophecies.
Yeah, I know. I'm like eye twitching.
Being able to be yourself versus what society tells you need to be.
Creepy wolves.
Creepy
sexy wolves.
Creepy sexy wolves that are creepy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good looking animals in this. It's just confusing.
Yeah, I know, right?
That is a great way to end.
You are welcome, everyone.
Yeah, you're looking at it and you're like, what species am I attracted to? Maybe I'm interspecies myself.
What is this?
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. Anywho.
On that note, everybody, we're going to walk away before we say anything else weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, bye.
Bye.